numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Midland in the hizzy. That's Kelly today. 10 hours before the NFL draft. We'll get to that groan here momentarily. We will talk NFL draft, but we won't devote the whole show to it because, Kelly, we've probably asked 55 people on this show what they think about this, what they think about that. Guys, you got your bets. We got our bets. It's either going to be a net win or a net loss at this point. And by the way, I'll tell you this. If Daniel Jeremiah's last mock draft is right, I am going to have a terrible night. Terrible.
It could be back-to-back horrible nights if Daniel Jeremiah's mock plays out to a T. I'm with you. There's I think up to about yesterday afternoon, there was maybe a couple bets that I was still either making or recommending to people. At this point, you got what you got, man, and it's time to play this thing out.
What I would like to do is I would like to have Chris Velika in here. We'll have him on and talk about, as a guy who's watched more college football than anybody else, just beyond the draft for a second, who does he think is best at every one of these positions? We haven't really done that, so we'll ask Chris Velika about that, what his bets are. We will review our bets, and we will talk briefly about Jeremiah and Schrager's final mock drafts. Bill Krakenberger unscripted as well, but we must start with a national Basketball Association last night. We have another second-round series locked in. The reason that we do is that, first of all, of course, in the games yesterday, and we'll get to all of them, but first of all, the New York Knicks carried out the gentleman's sweep of the Cleveland Cavaliers, winning that series in five games. Easy peasy. Like, the Knicks just destroyed the Cavs in that series. And Mitchell Robinson might have been the MVP. 18 boards last night, 11 of them offensive, a 48-30 rebounding advantage for the Knicks, 17-4 on the offensive board. Robinson had 7 more offensive rebounds than the entire Cavs team did. Brunson 23, Barrett 21, Quigley 19, Donovan's 28 didn't matter in defeat. I mean, that series was just ridiculous. And good on the Knicks, they're advancing to the Eastern Conference semis as a 5 seed.
Super impressed with the New York Knicks. I think a major disappointment for the Cleveland Cavaliers, who were a top 10 offensive and defensive team throughout the entire season. And you know, like you were just talking about, Gil, what was the difference? Well, it was on the boards. So if you're Cleveland, real good decision buying out Kevin Love. You know, that couldn't have helped you at all. And oddly, it seemed to help out another team last night.
Yes, so. He did. Evan Mobley put on some bulk. You'll be all right. And that other team that Kelly is referring to, and the team that the Knicks will meet in the Eastern Conference semis. By the way, congratulations to everybody who had the Bucks and the Heat going under 5.5 games. I'm sure it's exactly how you scripted it. Congrats on your bet.
That was the only thing that made me laugh this morning is when you brought that up when I walked in.
Incredible. The Heat unbelievably close out the Bucks in five. Five. The Heat, who we talked about, and let's put up these tweets if we could, Kelly, real quick, for sports odds history. If you want to know, like, where does this rank in the history of series betting in NBA playoff history? This is, by betting numbers, the fifth biggest upset in a series in the history, or at least as long as sports odds history has gone back in time, with series odds pre-flop, Miami plus 750 pre-flop against the Bucks. But I would argue, as we look at this list here, Kelly, and I put out a sort of a quote tweet on this, what is the longest of all time was Denver beating Seattle back in 1994, but that was a best of five. So that's different. 2007, it was the We Believe Warriors, who, yes, the Mavericks did win 67 games that year. This was an 8-1 series also. But the Dubs won 16 of their last 21 regular season games. And they also beat the Mavs 3 times in the regular season. So it wasn't that big of a surprise if you were following hoops that year, even though the Mavs won 67. 2012, it was that first-round series, a 1-8 between the Sixers and the Bulls. But you'll remember, that's the third biggest upset of all time, but you'll remember Derrick Rose tore his ACL in Game 1.
Yep.
So kind of throw that out. And the fourth biggest upset by series price, betting odds, was in the bubble. So that doesn't count because you're not really playing road games, true road games. So I could argue that the Heat beating the Bucks, and especially doing it in five without Tyler Hero and portions of Victor Oladipo, obviously. Yes, I get it. Giannis missed a couple games too. 2.5, 2.75, 2.75, if you will. But the Heat were 25th in offensive rating during the regular season. They were 26th in field goal percentage. They were 27th in three-point percentage. And they beat the team with the NBA's best record in five. And I think betting odds aside, you can make a case this is the worst of all time.
I agree.
And by the way, I got one, you know, somebody said this morning, oh, yeah, but betting odds, I mean, isn't it baked into the odds, all of this, with the exception of the Derrick Rose injury? Betting odds have sort of evolved also through the years. Like the Nuggets-Sonics betting odds in 1994 was quite frankly not as sophisticated as it is today, or not as calibrated. So I think it's the worst of all time. And here, by the way, this is the history of number one seeds losing to eight seeds. You know, there's the Rose injury one. Those Grizzlies teams had Zach Randolph on them as well. That Grizzlies team in 2011 that beat the Spurs. There's the Mavs. We believe Warriors beating the Mavs at 1-8. The Heat losing to the Knicks was a best of five, and the Sonics losing to the Nuggets was a best of five. So I really think this is the top of the heap in many ways. And your bets, man, dude, let me just say this. I barely texted anybody after this game last night because you weren't the only one. I knew so many people had the Bucks tied into everything. First half game, but I'm talking like series. I'm talking about cross-sport parlays, titles, Eastern Conference.
It was really bad. But, I mean, yeah, just from the historical perspective, quick, I'm with you, Gil. This is the most shocking one to me of all time.
I think it is.
I don't care that Giannis missed a couple games. I still thought the Bucks roster was better than what the Miami Heat were throwing out there most of the time, even without Giannis on the court.
Remember, Barkley said the Heat losing hero in perspective is worse than the Bucks losing Giannis for those two games.
Yeah. Which I don't,
towards winning that series.
There's not a, whether you believe to agree, whether you agree with that or not, there's not a huge separation one way or the other. So yes, that was a massive loss for Miami. They still got, I mean, and after that went out, it was, okay, Jimmy Butler is now your only reliable offensive weapon that you can go to. The Bucks knew it, and they couldn't stop it. Or they chose not to stop it.
It's like a Riggo drill. We got John Riggins in the backfield. He's the only back here. Everyone here knows he's getting the football. Stop him. You can't, because it's the Hogs. I don't know how I wedged the Hogs into that conversation.
And it was, I know we're going to go through all this, but like just like Coach Bud, he shouldn't be allowed out of the building what he did these last two games.
So can we talk about this? First of all, the box score, I urge everybody to look at the box. It's one of the most fascinating box scores you'll ever see, because the Heat took 19 more shots than the Bucks, made 8 more. They took 12 more threes. That was included in there as well. And the Bucks out-rebounded them 56-45. So you're like, wait, how can the Bucks out-rebound the Heat by 11 and the Heat took 19 more shots, 12 more from three? How is that possible? The answer, the free throw difference. The Heat were 11 of 17 from the line, and the Bucks, Kelly, were 28 of 45. Giannis missed 13 of them, went 10 of 23. In a game that went to overtime, he missed 13 free throws.
Can't do it. He's I've been saying it for a long time, he's the best player in the NBA, the greatest player in the NBA. Giannis Antetokounmpo made an impression on my thoughts of him last night in a negative fashion.
Will Hill had a great point off air. He said, if the Nets don't get hurt, Giannis may not win that championship. If that doesn't happen, do we think of him entirely differently?
Possibly. I think we're going to get to some sound here for a minute.
Let's do this right here.
Yeah, let's play this.
Giannis, when pressed on, if this season was a failure.
You asked me the same question last year, Eric. Okay, do you get a promotion every year on your job? No, right? So every year you work is a failure. Yes or no? No. Every year you work towards something, towards a goal, right? Which is to get a promotion, to be able to take care of your family, to be able, I don't know, provide a house for them or take care of your parents. You work towards a goal. It's not a failure. It's steps to success. You know, and if you've never, I don't want to make it personal. So there's always steps to it. You know, Michael Jordan played 15 years, won 6 championships. The other 9 years was a failure. That's what you're telling me. No, I'm asking you a question. Yes or no?
No, I mean, I don't think so.
Okay, exactly. So why are you asking me that question? It's a wrong question. There's no failure in sports. You know, there's good days, bad days. Some days you are able to be successful. Some days you're not. Some days it's your turn. Some days it's not your turn. And that's what sports is about. You don't always win. Some other people's going to win. And this year, somebody else is going to win.
Eric, listen. Maybe we go to Mykonos and we hash this out. I love his accent. He said there's no failure in sports, Kelly. You believe that?
No! No, I don't believe it, Gil. Everybody's patting this guy on the back this morning for this answer, too. This is a, going back to what we were talking about before, this is a great answer. If you haven't won a championship before, and a lot of people don't view you as the best player in the NBA, this is a crap answer. You should expect a championship every single year if you're on Giannis Antetokounmpo. That is what you should expect every single season. And every year you don't get there should be a failure. I'd love to hear Michael Jordan's thoughts on what he considers every year that he didn't win a championship. Because I bet you he's way harsher on himself than Giannis was after this.
Kelly speaking for Bucks bettors everywhere.
It's not even that. Just as a basketball fan. Everybody's applauding him this morning for that answer. It's a great... It's a great Disney answer. It's a great participation trophy era answer.
Shaq didn't like the answer.
It's crap. It is crap.
The Bucks lose in overtime, 128 to 126. On the other side, we'll get to the coaching of Coach Bud towards the end of that game. We'll get to the Heat-Knicks Eastern Conference semifinals series price. The other games from last night, and of course the NFL draft, Chris Felik and Beyond, Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted. Oh, this game last night, we could do an hour on it. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well. ESPN has already rolled out 10 hours, some just under 10 hours before the draft. The top prospects, Chiron, on the left side of the screen and on the bottom, of course. It's like reading the Magna Carta. Can you read all that while it's still up? Like, it's impossible to get through all that.
I would have gone another direction.
It's very information heavy.
The bottom, the lower third, we're used to that every year.
Yes, we are.
Oh, man, yes. It is like the back of a baseball card single prospect
right.
on the left-hand side.
Okay. So the only two series that we know that are set up for the second round, now getting back to the NBA, the Nuggets, we came out yesterday. We knew that the Suns were going to play the Nuggets in a 1-4 in the West, where the fourth-seeded Suns were -140 favorite. Here we have... Like everybody drew it up. Here we have the fifth seed taking on the eighth. And remember how they became the eighth seed. They got crushed by the Hawks in the 7-8, and they came back from the dead against the Bulls in the game for the eighth seed. The Heat did. The Knicks, the five seed, with home court, are -140 favorites against the Heat. Same price in both series. Which is more accurate to you, Kelly? This one or the other one? It's got to be this one, right?
Man,
with the Heat coming off the upset of the Bucks,
which is more accurate? This one's more accurate.
I think it is.
I think they're both off, though.
I do too. I think they're both off, but I think the Nuggets Suns one is more off.
Yeah,
because that's total disrespect to the Nuggets.
Yes, agreed.
This one is marginal disrespect.
The Knicks favored way more than this.
Oh, you would have the Heat way more. Oh, the Heat way more.
No, what, I, no, I would have the Knicks favored way more.
Oh,
than
I thought you'd make it less.
No, not at all.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I like the Knicks. I like the
so
Knicks.
So nothing you've seen from the Heat transfers.
Nothing. There's nothing. Oh. We've talked about it for days. It's the shooting percentages. Tibbs isn't going to let Jimmy Butler do that to the Knicks.
Speaking of Tibbs, Spoelstra versus Tibbs is an awesome coaching matchup. You know what wasn't? Spoelstra versus Bud.
Boom. Roasted him in the fourth quarter.
I hate to belabor this game from last night, but I think we need to belabor
it. Yeah, we need
it.
To.
Okay, real quick, because let's get through this and get to the other games. Heat led by as many as 8 in the first quarter and the second quarter. The Bucks were down 8, 46-38. They went on a 20-5 run to take a 58-51 lead, the Bucks did. And you thought to yourself, oh, well, this is it. They're just going to roll in Game 5 and we'll go back to Miami. Nope. They went into the locker room with a 6-point lead, crushing Bucks first half bettors because Gabe Vincent, by the game of his life, hit a 3 with 4 seconds left.
I had -6.5 first half. Good times. Brooke Lopez missed a free throw. Gabe Vincent, corner three.
Sure, of course he did. Third quarter, the Heat actually take a lead 81-80. Then the Bucks went on an 11-0 run to go up 91-81. They closed the quarter up 16. You're like, game over again, right? Nope. Fourth quarter, Heat get it down to 6 with just over 8 minutes left. You're like, how are they still in this game? Bucks get it back into double digits. You're like, okay, well, now it's over again, right? Nope. Bucks by 8 with just over 3 minutes left. The Heat go on an 8-0 run in less than a minute. And when I say the Heat do, I mean Jimmy Butler did. Butler bucket, Butler 3 the hard way, Butler 3 from behind the arc, 111 apiece. Last 2 minutes, Giannis layup, foul by Love. Giannis misses a free throw. Lopez gets the rebound. Matthew misses a 3. Then Bam hits a jumper to tie it up. Butler steals the ball, results in a jump ball. Bucks get it. Giannis misses a jumper. Butler misses a jumper. Then a foul on Love, remember. And Middleton hits 2 free throws. The Bucks are up 2. Butler misses a 3. Remember, he had the open look 3. He missed it. Strus fouls Drew. Drew makes them both. It's 117-113 Bucks with 14 seconds left. They're up 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gabe Vincent splashes a 3 with 8 seconds left. 117-116. Lowry then whistled for a foul that the Heat challenged. Challenge successful. Jump ball. Bucks get possession. Strus fouls Drew after a great save by Middleton. Giannis almost threw it out of bounds there, it should be pointed out.
Yeah, because the greatest player in the world wanted nothing to do with being on the free throw line in that moment.
Drew misses the first. There's then we got 2.1 seconds left, and the Bucks are up 1. Drew misses the first. Now, I would have purposely missed the second.
I was thinking the same thing at that time, Gil.
Now, you can disagree because you can say a lot of people, you know, a few people disagree where they're like, well, no, you just get the rebound with 1.7, and then you advance it. You don't know on a carom if you're going to get a clean rebound. That ball could bounce around. The game could, you know, you could get it maybe, you know, 0.7. And by the way, I tweeted that right then, not after the result of Butler scoring. Because people are like, well, Butler only needed 0.5 seconds. I'm not based on the result. I'm just saying win probability there, it's at least worth a discussion. The announcers never brought it
right,
up.
Right, yes. I thought the same thing. I wasn't angry about it one way or the other.
Yeah,
but,
I wasn't
but
too
I
outraged.
Thought about it for sure.
So he makes the second. The Bucks are up 2. The Heat advance the ball because, again, stupid rule in the NBA. Hey, call timeout. I mean, that means I get to go up half a court.
Yep.
I hate that rule. Vincent, from out of bounds, up top, backdoor lob to Butler, who gets a shove in there on Connaughton that goes uncalled, and he lays it in. We're going overtime. Brooke Lopez not on the court.
Spo goes small. Traps Bud completely. He takes Brooke Lopez off the court, leaves no rim protection whatsoever with Giannis on the ball. He talks after post game about trying to match up the small ball lineup. Gil, make him beat me with a 3 from outside. As soon as Lopez goes off the court, you know where they're going. Jimmy Butler to the rim.
Unders go to die on that game time bucket that sends it to overtime. Bucks do not call timeout after that. Regulation end.
No timeout called.
At a time, I didn't call it. Overtime, Heat lead by as many as 7 in overtime, but up 2 with 9 seconds left in overtime. Vincent misses a 3 with 9 seconds left. Giannis then, the Bucks coming down court. Giannis forced, I guess, to give it up when Jimmy Butler steps in front of him. It seemed more like Giannis just didn't want to do anything with it.
Yeah.
He sends it to Middleton, who throws it to Grayson Allen. It ends up in Grayson Allen's hands, and he doesn't even get a shot off. The worst last possession ever, and the Bucks season is over.
Grayson Allen cannot be taking that shot, and even Grayson Allen, I'm still like, what are you doing? The clock's right in front of you. The only shot you got is a floater from the free throw line. Fine, you got to put it up.
Butler, 42-8. On 17 of 33 shooting. He shot 33 times. Vincent, 22 out of nowhere. Bam, 20, 10, and 10. Giannis, 38 and 20 in defeat. Middleton, 33 in defeat. Lopez, 18 and 10 in defeat.
They kept dropping all game long, especially in the fourth quarter. Drop coverage on every time Jimmy Butler touched the ball. It burned them immensely, and they never adjusted. Bud never adjusted to Spo making a great call in the fourth of running the offense through Bam Adebayo. He facilitated almost everything, and they couldn't stop him. It was Bam facilitating to Jimmy Butler. It was a masterclass by Eric Spoelstra.
Hall of Famer. Spoelstra, Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
You like the Knicks so much in this series against the Bucks at this price. Would you bet the Knicks to win the Eastern Conference?
No, not at all. No, this is. I was just looking at those prices. I think it is completely fairly priced. The Boston Celtics are -175 to win the Eastern Conference.
Meanwhile, the Sixers just chilling, hoping the Hawks can win Game 6 and make those two teams, Celtics and Hawks, play as much as possible. The other game last night, the only one we didn't talk about, of course, was in many ways before the night started, the marquee game, which was the key. It didn't turn out to be Kings and the Warriors. And the Warriors, because, ladies and gentlemen, they are the Warriors, win a road playoff game in their 28th consecutive series, extending that record. They beat the Kings 123-116. Covering as a 2-point favorite in that game. Sack led by as many as 10 in the first quarter, but Golden State eventually tied it up at 50, went ahead 53-50 with 3:11 left in the second quarter on two Clay three-pointers. For the rest of the game, once they went up 53-50, the Warriors trailed for a grand total of 21 seconds early in the third quarter when they trailed 61-60. But the Warriors led by 4 at the half. They led by 9 at the end of the third quarter. They led by as many as 12 in the fourth. But the Kings did get within one point on three different occasions in the fourth quarter, but never got the ball with a chance to lead. Dubs had answers every time, including in the final minute when they were up 3-1, 17-114. A Wiggins turnaround fadeaway, then a layup by Steph and one that, for all intents and purposes, sealed the deal for the Dubs. They win it. Steph with 31, Clay with 25, Draymond with 21, Wiggins with 20, and the Warriors, they've got it on their racket now. This is not fait accompli. I mean, the Kings are like, but here was the deal. The De'Aaron Fox injury, I know he played. I know he played a great first quarter. Everybody's like, wow, maybe it didn't matter. It did. He did go 24-7-9, but unlike other performances, it was completely inefficient. He was 9 of 25 from the field, 3 of 10 from behind the arc. And honestly, Kelly, that might just be the difference in the series.
No,
as we imagined it would be.
I think you just broke it out so well. I thought the same thing. He box score, you know, points, rebounds, assists. Looks like he had a decent game. I'm with you. I think that affected him more than we realize. Sabonis finally putting up 21-10, but we've seen him struggle offensively throughout this series. I think Warriors finish this off at home. I already laid 7 with him.
You did. Six, yeah. You laid 7. Wow. League's gonna want a Warriors Lakers series, aren't they?
Oh yeah.
Ja and company will have something to say about that. Boy, oh boy. NBA sure is good. We'll get into, tonight it's only Boston and Atlanta. And Atlanta, a dog in that one. But we'll get into more NBA later. Draft with Chris Felica on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's a lot to bet on in the next 30 days, and for a limited time, you can subscribe to VSiN for only $9.99. That gets you insight into daily baseball best bets, NBA and NHL playoffs, and VSiN's upcoming Kentucky Derby betting guide. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Also, a top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. Speaking of the VSiN picks page, went 2-1 in tennis plays yesterday, 2-1 overnight here before the show. One more match, and it's about to start. I'm sorry I didn't bring this up earlier, but all that Giannis stuff. I'm on Christopher O'Connell over Philippe Krajinovic. O'Connell over Krajinovic, Kelly, which is about to start. You can get O'Connell at a better price than I did. You can get him at around -140-ish right now, maybe even a couple pennies better. That's the final tennis play of the day today.
Oh, that's where Chris O'Connell's been. God.
Chris O'Connell from MTV?
Yeah.
That guy? And from ESPN? Okay, one last thing before we get to Felica, too. One last thing about the NBA last night. Yes, the reason we didn't go into Memphis and the Lakers, forgive us, is that was, of course, the biggest blowout of the not the biggest blowout, but it was a blowout as well as the Knicks-Cavs, so not too much to get into there. The experience for most people last night, the NBA, those two games, the Bucks and the Heat and the Warriors-Kings, ran concurrently. They tipped off a half hour from each other, but they ended up in crunch time because the other one went to overtime, right? The Bucks heat concurrently. So one was on NBA. For most people, one was on NBA TV and the other was on TNT. And so most people's experience last night with those two epic games was, all right, I'm watching the Warriors-Kings. I'm watching the Warriors-Kings. Well, the Bucks are up 16. There's no reason to turn. Wait a minute, because they had the score up in the right corner. Wait a minute, it's a five-point game. I have to turn. It was back. Like, you couldn't concentrate on one if you're not set up like a sports bettor and had multiple screens, or if you're at a sports book. So many people were complaining about that to me last night. I'm like, yeah, dude, I don't know what to tell you. The NBA shouldn't have scheduled it. I guess you could say they shouldn't have scheduled, but who would have thought that they would have gone that way?
Yeah, and I guess what, they don't want to go up to against the draft a bit here tonight,
they
too.
Don't. They absolutely don't.
Warriors-Kings, yeah, it was tough to, like, I had it on a screen the entire time. I feel like I barely watched the game.
Yeah, the only way I'm watching that Celtics-Hawks game is if this draft goes sideways for me quick. And we bring in Chris Velika, the Bear from Fox, to discuss the NFL draft with us. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing all right. And can I just, like, throw my two cents in there? I know Kelly had his little event session there before. Like, I fully appreciate and respect and Giannis's, like, thoughtful response and just how he addressed things, but it's okay to admit the season was a failure, because it was.
Yeah.
You were in the number one seed in the conference. You were a massive favorite in the series. You were favorite to win the NBA title. You blew a double-digit lead with 5 minutes to go in Game 5. You blew a 16-point lead in the fourth quarter. In a must-win game to a team that didn't have its second-best offensive player. If you had lost to the Celtics or the Sixers, yeah, that's okay. That's fine. They lost to a good team, but just lost 5 games to a team that nearly didn't even get out of the play-in. So it's okay to admit the season was a failure, because it was.
Eric, you asked me this question last year. Do you get a promotion every year? I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I loved every part of it.
But everything else he said about, yeah, we could have done some things different defensively, everything was spot on. But so it's okay to admit your disappointment.
Chris, I don't want to make this personal. Let's talk NFL draft. Let's make this personal. How do you feel about this? How do you feel? First of all, I mean, let's hear some of your bets, and how do you feel about this going in? Uneasy?
I think I'm sitting on a couple of losers just because of that Jets trade with the Packers. I had Broderick Jones to go under 13.5, and now with the Jets going back from 13 to 15, I feel a little concerned about that. But I feel okay about everything else. You've asked everybody, like, what's the one thing that would send your draft into oblivion? It's if quarterbacks go 1-2-3. If quarterbacks go 1-2-3, you'll probably see me at the blood bank for the next month and a half straight, trying to recoup some losses. But I feel okay that quarterbacks aren't going to go 1-2-3. What I play, like Jalen Carter to go under 6.5, I think that's something that's a little iffy. I think he's going to go in the top six, but that's something I potentially could lose. But I got in on Levis over Richardson, Young, Levis, 1-2 quarterback. Well, not the first two picks in draft, but Young and Levis to be the first two quarterbacks picked in that order. I got in on Richardson over 4.5, and I might even take a ride up to Massachusetts later and see if DraftKings still has some stuff posted and go over 7.5.
The Jalen Carter alone, like, you bring him up. We were riding under the assumption the Seahawks absolutely do not want Jalen Carter, and now they're like, oh, the Seahawks might draft Jalen Carter. Like him, he's a microcosm of this whole thing.
Exactly, and if you're the Lions, if Seattle doesn't take him at 5 and he's there at 6 for the Lions, why wouldn't the Lions take him and put him on that defensive line with Aiden Hutchinson
and Carter, back to
back, however many years, and then you have a pick at 18 where you could take either Porter or Forbes or Banks or any of those other defensive backs who are going to be available. Like, it isn't the net of Carter and one of those second defensive backs better than, say, Devin Witherspoon and whoever else you're going to, Kalijah Kansi, whoever might go at 18? I don't know.
All right, so since we have you, Chris, because you watch more college football than anybody, let's just get your opinion. Who's the best quarterback to you?
I think it's Bryce Young, because of his ability to get rid of the ball quickly, process, and see the field. I think that's the
Rank them behind.
That is the most. Stroud, Levis, Hooker, Richardson, Haener. How about that?
Yeah, you are not a Richardson guy. I know that. But you know,
no.
So that's what Kelly and I were saying. Like, the Jeremiah draft came out where it goes Bryce Young followed by Stroud at two. And the reason we're so mad about that, if that happens, is we love Stroud, but we just didn't bet it that way that he would go second.
Right.
We did
exactly.
Everything else. Yeah. Okay.
It's not that I don't like Richardson. I can't take a quarterback who's an absolute project that high. It's the internal struggle that I have in betting the draft and going when I go through these mocks. It's about what a team should do and what a team will talk themselves into doing, and that's why I'm a little off with. I have under 4.5 quarterbacks. I know you have over 4.5 quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Because I'm thinking that you just can't take Hendon Hooker the back end of the first round, knowing he's not going to play for a year, just because you might get a fifth-year deal. So, maybe I'll lose there, or maybe you'll win.
If Jeremiah's draft is accurate, I win one bet. Like, that's it. That's how bad it would be for me. So I hope he's not right for a second straight year. Who's the best wideout in the draft? Because, again, just to use Jeremiah, he's got Zay going first. Zay Flowers before Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I do not want that to happen. How do you rank him?
No, I think it's Smith-Njigba, one, and Addison two. Isn't Zay Flowers more of like a novelty wide receiver?
I thought so.
More of a return guy.
Yeah.
But that's such a big part of the game. Maybe someone's high end, but. Like, I would consider taking, like, Jalen Hyatt and his speed, or Cedric Tillman, or, like, there are a lot of wide receivers in that second area. Like, the depth of the wide receiver group this year is really good. So, I think that might cause some of these wide receivers to potentially fall a little bit. But I think Smith-Njigba is certainly the best.
Who is the best defensive player, Carter or Anderson?
Jalen Carter. Jalen Carter is the best player in the draft. Like he is a I can remember a couple of years ago at a Georgia practice, Kirk was watching practice, and he won't mind telling the story because it's not a – and like this is when they had all those memes, and Kirk, he helped relate the story to me. He's like – I said to Kirk, who the hell is 88? He's like, give me that guy. And he's like, oh, that's Jalen Carter. But this is before, like, he burst onto the scene. So the talent is evident that he's been the best player on the best team in football over the last couple of years. And, yeah, he's got some things to sort through off the field for teams. But, like, he's an impact player at an impact position in the league. So, like, I think he's the best player in the draft. And, obviously, it will be the just a quarterback need for teams and the concerns about all of the off-the-field stuff that's going on for him. But if he gets in the right situation, he's going to be a good player.
Boy, oh boy. That you beat me to my last question, which is the overall best player. There it is, an emphatic vote for Jalen Carter. Chris, good luck to you with your bets. Good luck to us.
You did not ask me for what the most important question of this show is.
Oh, God. What?
Who do I like in the USFL this week?
Who do you like? Oh!
Who do I like in the USFL?
Because you're 2-0, a documented 2-0. Who do you like? Real quick, 5 seconds.
I got two unders for you. Under 43 in Pittsburgh, Philly, and under 44 in New Jersey, Michigan. There'll be a column on FoxSports.com if you want to read why, but there's a quick little 10-second
Thank you, Chris. Chris Velika, everybody. Coming back, more draft.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, hits the ice with a special offer on select playoff games. Place a first goal scorer prop wager, and if you don't win, you'll get half your stake back in a bonus bet, up to $10. Enjoy the playoffs like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds, specials, and parlay selection features throughout the postseason. Log in now or sign up and opt in to get a $10 bonus bet if your first goal prop wager misses the net. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices.
Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and to eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets. We got to get through a whole bunch of these, and then we got to report some new steam at the number two pick.
Yeah.
On the other side of these. Well, actually, you want to give the steam first? The steam is on?
The steam is on. yeah, when I sat down in this chair, I believe Will Anderson was minus 150 to go number two, which had already, I know that had moved overnight. And Will Anderson currently at DraftKings is minus 300 to be the number two pick.
It's just what there will never be. I shouldn't say never because it was going to happen again. But what did we say on this show time and time again? We said, we'll put up our NFL draft record year after year after year against anyone's. That's how great it's been. But I always said, I go, one of these years, we're going to lose.
I guess it's going to be bad. Yeah.
We might not only lose, we could get crushed. Now, there's some things that could save me here, right? Like if Lucas Van Ness goes top 10, or especially if he goes number 10, to the Eagles, but no, he just has to go top 10. If Jackson Smith Njigba is the first wideout drafted and it's early-ish before 15, yeah, my draft's going to be fine. But if those two things don't happen, oh boy.
Yeah, I need those Cardinals to not find a trade partner and take Paris Johnson. Take him.
Well, so here's the deal. So yesterday, Daniel Jeremiah came out with his final mock draft. He has Bryce Young first, C.J. Stroud second to Houston, and then he has Houston trading to get the number three pick, trading up with their 12 to get the number three pick from the Cardinals, and then taking Will Anderson. So they would go Stroud and Anderson back-to-back, so he's mocking trades. Then, of course, Levis to the Colts, Carter to the Seahawks, Witherspoon to the Lions, Gonzalez to the Raiders. Those seem pretty consensus right now. He's got Bijan going to the Falcons at 8. I get it. He's the short shot to go to the Falcons, but like, don't they have backs?
I haven't really. I get the Bijan love. I don't get the Bijan to the Falcons.
That's exactly how I stand on it.
Like this is cool. You're collecting all these great offensive weapons. Who's your quarterback again?
The thing that would crush me is he's got Zay Flowers going 11th to the Titans. Then he has Paris Johnson with the Cardinals traded pick in his draft. And there's Peter Schrager. If you're curious, Peter Schrager went. How did he go at the top? He went Bryce Young first. Then he went Will Anderson second. He has Tennessee trading up to get C.J. Stroud at 3, Will Levis at 4, Carter at 5, Witherspoon 6, and then he's got the Raiders taking Tyree, who all of a sudden, no one's mentioning Tyree Wilson, all of a sudden.
Well, that's what he was the favorite yesterday when we sat here to go number 2, right?
God.
He's plus 275 now.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Thank you to everybody who always tweets in. Love the feedback. Because it helps us sort of advance conversations. Jeff Schwartz, Gil, after last night's Bucks collapse, how many points in the line is a good NBA head coach worth when compared to a bad NBA head coach, specifically given the same exact players? Is Spoelstra -6 versus Bud more? Well, no, he's not. He's not -6, but to your overall point, yes, you ought to be aware about coaching. It's not going to factor into the line nearly as much as our outrage and our incredulous nature makes it sound like it is, but is it worth something at the margins? Absolutely.
Yeah. The other thing I think you should keep in mind too is how much does it matter in a regular season game compared to a playoff game, compared to a must win playoff game? Every one of those situations, right, they become more valuable.
Not a static thing, that's right. Yep. We said that about, you know, Tom Brady. If Tom Brady for the Patriots was playing a home game versus a moribund team versus an away game against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, it's a different a different calculation. Richard Palma, always I had one of the tennis picks this morning was a 15-year-old girl named Mira Andreeva, and she beat Beatriz Haddad Maia. She's unbelievable. And he's asking me, he goes, will she become a legitimate rival to Iga? Okay, I'm like, easy, easy. Rich PSM, when capping NBA playoffs, you better include coaching and desire, because if you did, you never would have taken the Bucks or Jared Allen, Evan Mobley versus Butler and Brunson. Oh, I see. Okay, you get it. He's doing respectively. And it wasn't even close. Las Vegas 514 talking about the draft. Yo, with the 16th pick, the Washington Commanders pick a new owner. LOL. He says, by the way, who do you think we should pick, not Bijan? Well, I think if Bijan's available, should absolutely pick Bijan. First of all, there was big news in Washington. And I remember when I was in D.C. for my vacation after the Super Bowl, and I said, you know, I said a couple things. One, they're like content with Sam Howell and Jacoby Brissett. Like, what is this nuttiness? I said they should trade Chase Young and a number and their 16th pick to move up to draft a quarterback. Well, the Skins, pardon me, the Commanders, yesterday announced that they're not exercising the fifth-year option on Chase Young.
Yep.
So I really do believe a possibility of a trade tonight in some ways is I said this in early February. They should package Chase Young for something. Especially, you're not picking up his fifth year? Trade him.
Yeah. Well,
get something.
I mean, right now? Hell yeah, right? And maybe that's even a signal, right? For them to...
We're open for business.
Yeah, exactly. To make a move like that.
Well, but to your question exactly, Las Vegas, which is, should they grab Bijan if he's available? Listen, I'd love to have him. I think that's a pick they should make, and I'll tell you why. How many years can you go staring at the Giants and Saquon, staring at the Cowboys with Zeke and now Tony Pollard, staring at the Eagles with Miles Sanders or whoever they plug into that position, and you don't have a great back? Grab him.
See, I get Bijan's awesome, but I think it's the same Atlanta thing. Like, Terry McLaurin's so good. Who are we quarterbacking with?
Well, the quarterback is priority number one. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about non-quarterback category for them.
All right.
I'd grab Bijan, yeah. Johnny Ringo, you say the Heat. I think you mean the fighting Jimmy Butlers. This is from...
Yeah,
amen is right. Gilly Ice Butchers, my nickname, says, how about them Warriors futures? Our futures have life. I always thought they had life. I never doubted. Dom Perignon. MJ fitting to make a comeback after Giannis saying that 9 of his seasons were a failure. Insert MJ meme. Oh, well, that was Shaq who said 9 of his seasons were a failure. Hashtag I took that personal. Corey Henderson, 775. That answer is an extension of what happened on the floor during the game. No timeout at the end of regulation. Can't get the ball onto the rim to end overtime. Followed all that up with a crap answer during the presser. He's talking about Giannis. Joe Nigro, we have gone from there's no crying in baseball to there's no failure in sports. Trophies for everyone. That seemed to resonate with folks.
Yes.
Michael Burns, Kelly, tell us how much money you lost on the Bucks without telling us how much money you lost on the Bucks. Sorry, man. Scott, New York Mets 16. Gill's nope has to be as good as Kelly's splitting bets going through that game. This is from Paulie 68. Name another great player in another sport who is so epically bad at one facet of their game as Giannis is at free throw shooting. 10 of 23.
Man, good question.
Man. And on and on with these. I'm not going to Ron Burgundy through the rest, but thank you for somebody. So that's, so you know, those are some of the drafts. That's what Jeremiah had. That's what Peter Schrager had. The steam is now on Will Anderson at number 2. I definitely need some help here. Here are my plays. I'll just put them out here one last time. This could get ugly. So CJ Stroud, first overall pick. Those two are gonna be losses. My draft's gonna really come down to Jaxon Smith-Njigba as one of the big pillars. I have him first wideout drafted at plus 350, which is a spectacular price. I hope Jeremiah's wrong. Can't be Zay Flowers. Not now. Then I've got him under 12.5. More importantly, I've got him under 14.5 a couple times. I have Zay over 21.5. So with a lot of juice. So for me, I mean, that is going to be massive, how those wide receivers shake out. If that goes my way, it could be good. And then my other page, real quick here before we get to Kelly's, is a whole bunch of other ones that I made. Again, Lucas Van Ness is a huge pillar for me, too, in this draft, to be a top 10 pick at big plus money. I have him under 11.5. I have Broderick Jones over 13.5. I have Skoronski over Paris Johnson, meaning drafted earlier. I'm prepared to lose that one. Over 5.5 offensive linemen. Jeremiah didn't have over 5.5. Uh-oh. I've got over 4.5 quarterbacks, and I've got the position of the Patriots' first selection at quarterback at 8-1 odds. You?
Yeah, for me, look, we got C.J. Stroud. If Bryce Young goes number one, I'll make a small profit there. I've kind of got it circled with Stroud, Young, and along Levis. pick from about a year ago at this point. So I'll grind out a little bit of profit there, Gil, but you're right. There's other ones that, you know, Skronsky, first offensive lineman, that's probably dead. Will Anderson, I got a pretty big position on that, not looking good this morning. Mayer over Kincaid, who knows? Couple flyers on these offensive linemen to go top five. So if Paris Johnson goes, that would be a big hit. And then running backs over 1.5 in the first round, that is a big position for me.
Well, that one looks to be mocked in your favor these days.
Yeah.
At least Jeremiah had both Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs going in the first round. Bill Krakenberger bets the NFL draft. Let's find out if he even knows what he needs next. Unscripted on A Numbers Game.